Hello, this is Mo from Leeds Student Radio, and we're in the middle of a very interesting interview. This is a first for Leeds Student Radio. It's 3 against 1. It's myself, Jelly Dennison, and Emma Rice, and we are here with the amazing Jack Garrett. We have just seen a live performance by him, the man himself, and we are honestly blown away.
Thank you very much. No, thank you for having me. This is, a lot of fun.
How did you feel about the performance?
The show was really good. I had a really, really good time. The crowd was a lot of fun.
You're welcome.
It was a lot of fun. Yeah, pretty much, actually. The three of you standing at the front of the stage, just like... Yeah, no, it was really, really cool. It's a weird one for me. It's coming up to the end of the tour now, so it's all a bit, like, mental, and I'm on my last legs, but it's a lot of fun. I've got one more show now, one more show to do. But, yeah, tonight was a lot of fun. Again, the crowd were just so sweet and really, really accepting.
So, for anyone that hasn't listened to your stuff, obviously we've been championing the love you're given.
Yeah, thank you very much.
You're more than welcome, but anyone who hasn't heard it, if we can sum it up in a couple of words, you basically take every instrument under the sun and you play it all at once.
Yeah.
So how would you feel to anyone that said only women can multitask?
I'd say that I take after my mother a lot, so I'd agree with them. The way that I see it, everyone can just naturally do something. Everyone has one thing that they can, at least one thing that they can just do. Like, no matter how much training other people may have at doing it, like, there is something everyone can do for themselves which is just natural to them.
Don't worry, Jelly, you'll find it.
No. But no, it just so happened when I was a kid, I could very easily just sort of pick up musical instruments. My ears were good and my hands understood them and I could just pick things up. So the whole playing three instruments at once kind of thing, it was just like just give it a shot kind of thing. And it just so happens that I could do it. I just, you know, stood up, had everything set up in the way that I thought I was going to be able to do it, and it worked from the get-go. Like, it was just a very natural process. But I think that's why it gets the reaction that it does. I mean, it could fall apart at any minute, and it almost did fall apart this evening, but like, the fact that it doesn't at the end of every show is kind of like, I don't know, it's that emotional rollercoaster you were talking about. Like, it is kind of that. And I'm there with the audience the whole time on the emotional rollercoaster with them, not sure when it's going to, you know, self-destruct or if it's going to go well. But
one thing I'm going to absolutely pounce on is that falsetto. Like, that's insane. But in You Saints, you talk about smoking and drinking a lot. Surely you can't maintain that kind of rage.
Yeah, the falsetto actually came about when I was a kid because I used to listen to Imogen Heap a lot. I'm putting this Spotify playlist together at the moment, and I'm trying to think of people I used to listen to, and Imogen Heap is a good shout. That's going straight. And Five.
And Avril Lavigne.
Five's got to go on, yeah. And Avril Lavigne.
Anyway.
No, but I was just in love with her. I just thought she was incredible, and I refused to sing her songs, you know, not at any other pitch other than the ones that she sung them in. So when I was 11 or 12, I was singing Hide and Seek and trying to hit the notes that she was hitting, and I just sung it over and over again every day because I loved that song so much. And, you know, I genuinely believe that the reason why I can kind of still sing quite high is because when I was 12, I sung to Imogen Heap a lot. And
thank you, Imogen.
Yeah,
thanks. Thanks very much. Yeah.
At the beginning of Love You're Given, is that vocal sample you?
No, it isn't. That's an extremely talented singer called Lisa Fisher, who is an American jazz vocalist and backing singer for some of the biggest and best artists in the world. The sample is from a documentary called 20 Feet from Stardom, which came out last year, and is a documentary that follows the stories of individual backing singers through their careers, and this strange kind of like curse or hindrance on backing singers that don't seem to be able to make that 20 feet to stardom. That's the whole point of it. And one of the main stories that it focuses on in the documentary is this woman called Lisa Fisher, who had a huge hit and got a Grammy in the 80s with a solo record. Like, that she sings infinitely better than, personally speaking, than I think Whitney Houston ever did.
Ooh. Claim.
But I genuinely believe it.
Well, when you pick up these instruments, undeniably, you're so talented with them. And picking up that loop pedal, that sample pad, is so intimidating because it's like taking another step. It's creating something so different. And so how would you say to someone who is very good at the raw, organic music, and then they want to take that step, but they're just a bit scared?
Well, I did exactly the same thing. I started my writing career when I was 13. I was writing acoustic songs. Yeah, strictly acoustic. I'd spent like the majority of my childhood convinced that I didn't enjoy popular music or electronic music or anything like that. I was just absolutely convinced by it. And then when I was about 18, I suddenly went, oh no, wait a minute, and just like slapped myself in the face and just went, no, it's okay.
Who was the defining artist? Because I bet there was one.
Oh, man. I tell you what. See, that's the thing. There was a defining moment for me 2 years ago. Yeah, it came out in 2012. Was Frank Ocean's Channel Orange record.
Really?
Which, like, that was it for me. That was absolutely it. And I actually had the very fortunate circumstance of meeting him a couple months ago.
Did you cry?
And I nearly did, because he's the most beautiful man I've ever seen.
I know, don't have to tell me.
He's the most beautiful man I've ever seen. Like, I don't think you even understand. Like, I'm sure you've seen pictures of the dude, yeah. But like, oh my God, in the flesh, he's the most beautiful man I've ever seen in my life. No, he's...
carved by angels.
Does he have a ginger really beard though, Jack?
No, he doesn't.
Of course he does.
I mean, that's where he's
not a bearded
wrong,
wonder.
Really. No, but that record, the Channel Orange, was just like, that changed a lot for me, because it was this dude that was just... singing soulfully, and if there's one thing I love more than anything in the world, it's soulful melodies. Like, soulful, cool, hooky, catchy melodies. Like, that's awesome. Good melody writing is just really, really cool and very hard to do. And when it happens and when it works properly, a lot of respect to that. But the Channel Orange record just absolutely blew me over. Just the way in which you could hear the impression that Motown had made on him, that soul music had made on him, that just, you know, legendary and almost like legacy genres had made on him, and just how involved he was with new music and with, you know, just an absolute adoration and love for contemporary modern R&B and hip hop grooves and stuff like that. I also had the fortune of working with one of his producers and one of his very good friends, a guy called Omas Keith, who is just unbelievable. So I got to kind of see behind the scenes on those kind of sessions and see like kind of how they work, and it was just absolutely inspiring. So in terms of advice to someone who's scared about picking up an electric instrument, just give it a go. What's the worst that's going to happen? Like, you can't do it, so what? Find something else, or just find the love in what you do, I guess, already. Like, there's nothing wrong with just playing the electric guitar or playing the acoustic guitar. There's a lot of electronic music going on at the moment. And the one thing I love about the music that I write is that I'm just writing electronic music at the moment. I don't see myself doing this for the rest of my life. I spent, you know, 5 years writing gospel music and writing acoustic blues songs and stuff. You know, you can hear the gospel chords in the piano bits that I do and all of that. Like, I keep it with me forever, and I will try to. That's, yeah, it's just do what you love.
I think you got some time on an ice cream stall as well.
Yeah, probably. That'll come up at some point.
No, at the end of a Brighton pier or something.
I'll be writing the music that gets played out on the ice cream stand. That's what it'll be. As long as I'm working the music, I'm happy.
Right, well, I think we've been fully educated by what I would define as the evolution of the one-man band. thank you very much for your time, Jack Garrett.
So
this has been Mo, Jelly and Emma reporting for Leeds Student Radio.